As far as we can tell, all power's been cut off everywhere. All communications are out. Telephones, radio, cable, everything.
Oh, Eleanor, did you call the electrician?
I tried, Mr. Bleeker, but the phone doesn't work either.
Well, call the phone company.
But the phone doesn't work.
Cactus.
What don't you fucking understand?
This is PLA Radio, episode 22. Today you're going to hear nothing but an interview with one of the prank callers from the 976 girls, but first you should know that the PLA now has a YouTube page at youtube.com/phonelosersofamerica. There you'll find a brand new episode of PLA TV called the Payphone Payout, where we trick people who answer payphones into doing crazy things. You'll also find a few videos of me, Trevlin, and Eyeball, and Altalp at ShmooCon, which you can read all about by visiting phonelosers.org. And you'll find a new video about Richard Cardo, the man who thinks I helped kill JonBenet Ramsey. And speaking of Richard, there's a whole page dedicated to him now, which is at phonelosers.org/RichardCardo. If you're a fan of prank calls, you may remember a prank call label from the 1990s called Dillagaff Records. They're mostly known for bringing us the Ballbusters, but are also responsible for Telephone Head and the 976 Girls, who put out a CD called Phone Fucked. The calls on that CD were made by four girls in Florida, and all of those calls centered around the theme of sex. While these calls aren't as brilliant as, say, the original Jerky Boys or the Touchtone Terrorists, I've always found them to be really amusing, and I've been a fan of their material ever since I found their CD in 96. A couple weeks ago, I spoke on the phone with Erica, who's featured on several of the tracks on this CD, and she was able to give us some history on herself, Dillagaff Records, and the very businesslike methods behind their prank phone calls. Alright, so we're on the phone with Erica today. She is one of the 976 girls from the old CD Phone Fucked, which year did that come out, Erica?
Actually, that's one more thing I don't remember. I will have the CD in front of me on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Just to let you know, because my sister's bringing a copy down.
Yeah.
I don't remember the year. I know it was in the early 90s.
Yeah, I think I picked it up in 1996 from Sam Goody or one of those CD stores.
Well, I know one thing. I know that it was a crazy couple of years for me in South Beach. And I got together with a couple of girls and I went in for a voiceover. And I know that the CD came out within a year of my voiceover, so maybe 95.
What kind of work were you doing before you did this 976 Girls thing?
I was a bartender in South Beach, and I did some runway modeling, acting, extra work in the movies, a lot of movies that hit South Beach. I was actually a very funny girl at the bar,
uh-huh.
And everybody really, and they loved my voice. Everyone said they loved my voice back then.
Yeah.
And I was just chosen at the bar, Jam's Tavern and Grill, which is, I don't think it's there any longer. But somebody came in and said, you have a great voice. There's an audition for voiceovers on Washington Avenue for Dillagaff Records. Would you be interested? And I said, of course I would be. So, because I didn't want to be an actress, but it was just fun doing the extra work and being in the field.
Yeah.
Meeting, you know, famous people. And it was just a lot of fun, the party scene down there. So I went went for the voiceover. I walked in a pair of cut-off shorts and a little T-shirt, and I was kind of hungover, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I went in with an attitude like I could give a shit, basically. And they put me into the studio and on a phone,
mm-hmm.
And they just said, pretend you're talking on the phone. It wasn't live or anything. And then they gave me my lines, and as soon as they cued me, I said the lines. And after a couple times, we were giggling and having fun at it because I was, you know, wasn't feeling that good that day. And finally I got a couple of them right, and I felt loosened up a little bit because we were laughing so much. And then I just started kind of spewing out my own stuff. I just kind of went on, you know, with anything that came to my mind, adding on to the lines and
yeah.
they gave me. And they loved what I said. And I was laughing and having fun with it. And I thought it was crazy. I absolutely thought it was a crazy, crazy thing.
So did they tell you this was for prank calls?
Yes. They told me exactly what it was for, but they just wanted me for a voiceover because one of the girls, they had a contract with one of the girls, and they did, the girl was demanding more money. I don't remember which girl it was. Basically, they had one skit that they needed the voiceover for, so they wouldn't have to write a new contract for her and pay her more money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was that one person. They couldn't give the other girls that one either because they were only signed to do a certain amount of skits on the CD. So anyway, they really liked my delivery. They liked the fact that I was having fun with it. They loved my voice. And they liked that I just kind of went on my own with it and added on to the lines they gave me. So basically, that's what happened. And then they called me back about a week later and they offered me more skits. And they said, can you come in for a live prank? And I said, of course. They said, we want to see how you're going to, what you'll say and how you'll do on a live prank because you did so well on, you know, the voiceover. And I said, okay. So then I went in and then the first skit that I did live just was perfect. We didn't have to, it came out the first take. It was perfect. And then we went on to another one and everyone got all happy and I just kept they kept giving me skits and I think I had six or seven and I told them I didn't want a contract. I signed because I didn't care really much about that. I wasn't in it for the money or to be famous.
Yeah.
I was just in it to have a blast and they did pay me well and no residuals, which is fine. And
these are all phone sex type skits or are they different things as well?
They're phone sex skits. Well, they're prank calls also. Everything has to do with sex in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some prank calls to like a Chinese restaurant. There are some prank calls to brokers in New York, which happened to be friends of mine that they had to sign a release afterwards.
Yeah.
And they were all happy about that. They were okay with that. And they didn't know it was me, though. Like, my friend Janine worked at a brokerage house in New York, and I called her and asked her if I could play a prank on her boss. So she didn't let her boss know, and I did. And then we asked him to sign the release after. And he gladly signed it and had a really great sense of humor about it. And we didn't use his name or the brokerage house name, of course.
Hi, is this Saul?
Yes, it is. Who's this?
This is Cherry. How are you?
Good. Cherry from where?
Well, your friends chipped in and bought you a free 10 minutes of phone sex.
What?
Yeah.
What friends?
Just a couple of your friends. That's how I got your number.
And you're supposed to give me some kind of phone sex for
yeah.
free?
Uh-huh. 10 whole minutes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, do you have time?
I just got out of the shower. You caught me at the right time.
Yeah, I certainly did.
Well, let me see what you got.
Well, why don't you go into your bedroom and lay down to take off your towel?
You walk in there. Okay, I'm laying down.
Oh, good. Well, I definitely want you to start to touch yourself.
Okay.
Does it feel good?
It's all right.
I want to get you really, really hard. Are you touching yourself still?
Uh-huh.
Are you going a little faster?
Lightly stroking him.
Stroke it faster.
Okay.
I want to just picture me down with my 8-inch long tongue.
Ooh.
Licking you from your balls all the way to the head of your cock. And then going back down again and lapping up your balls.
I like that.
Do you have a hairy asshole?
Actually, it is quite hairy.
Oh my god, I want to put super glue between your cheeks and press them together really, really hard.
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
No? Why not?
It just would be sticky and burn, probably.
Oh, then I'm going to have to take your prick and chop it off with a Ginsu knife.
I'd rather have the super glue, actually.
God, I want to be senseless with a brick. Oh, baby.
I don't think I'd do that.
Oh, you make me so horny just thinking about that.
That makes you horny.
Yes, it certainly does. Time's up.
Time's up?
Yeah, that'll be $250, please.
$250.
Yeah, should I bill that to your Visa, MasterCard, or American Express?
None. I thought my friends were paying for it.
Well, you owe me the money. It's my time I spent. Didn't you enjoy yourself, sir?
Oh, not really. You enjoy yourself beating me up senseless with a brick and cutting my penis off.
Listen up, you freak. That'll be $250, okay? Should I both see your Visa, MasterCard, or American Express?
So did the people you pranked, did they get any cut of the profits from this?
Not at all. We had to do it, we had to prank quite a few people, because some of them wouldn't sign it, some of them didn't understand what we were doing. We had to prank a couple of Chinese restaurants, because they just didn't understand about, they just hung up on us when we called back for them to sign a release.
Yeah, well, did you have people that were pissed off about, you know, being the butt of the joke?
Definitely. We definitely had people that didn't want to talk to us anymore. We got a lot of people very upset.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were laughing as well, though. We had everyone on the CD, everything on the CD was authentic, and I'll tell you the truth, except for one, which was my voiceover.
Oh, which voiceover?
That I don't remember.
I see what you're saying. You mean you redid the lines from your side of the call?
Yes.
Okay.
So it wasn't a live call, but that was only one on the CD that was not a live call. All the rest were, and all the rest were. None of them were set up at all. Nobody on the other end of the line got money. And it was just everyone on the CD. And we did plenty of them because, you know, again, we made a lot of people a little, you know, angry.
Mm-hmm.
But we had such a blast doing it that they just kept me going on more and more. And they kind of pulled, they cut out some of the other girls and it just added me as a fourth girl. I think it was three girls to start. And then it became four when I was on board, when I came on board.
Were you around when the other girls made their calls?
No. Mm-mm. I think I came in one time at the tail end of one of the girls' recording.
Mm-hmm.
But the only time I really got to know them was in passing in the studio. And for our photo shoot for the cover of the edited version.
Oh, I see.
So that was the only time. But I'm dying to see where they are in the world right now.
And you don't remember any of their names?
No, I don't even remembering their names in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really kept us separate, and we weren't all together having fun doing it. But when each of us were in the studio, we had a blast.
Yeah, I didn't know prank calls could be so organized like this. I thought it was just, you know, friends hanging around making calls.
No, not at all. It was very organized, and Dillagaff Records did a great job. They were, unfortunately, I think they went under. They were from Woodstock, New York. At least I think their home base was in Woodstock, New York, and they came down to South Beach to do some fun stuff. And they were wonderful. The producers were wonderful. They were hysterical, down-to-earth businessmen. Very nice, very wonderful to be around, and they were funny as hell.
Do you know what 976 is? You know what the significance of 976 girl is?
Well, yeah, the hot sex numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess back in the 80s, I don't know, maybe they're still around, but they had a certain exchange. Any area code plus 976 is a bunch of information lines. But then they also had phone sex and psychics.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've actually never called one myself before. I mean, like any kind of 976 number.
Well, I have. I have called them just out of fun after I did the CD.
Well, I've called 900 numbers before, but I just don't know if 976 was before my time or if that's just mainly an 80s thing.
I think the 976 was an 80s and 90s thing.
Okay.
And I haven't heard much of it lately, but then again, I'm a mom now, so.
Yeah, my friends and I, we used to bridge phone sex operators together and try and get them to have phone sex with each other, you know, with three-way
that's
calling.
Hysterical.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Oh my God, that's a great idea.
Dillagaff Records, they did some other groups. Like, I don't know if you've heard of them. They did some guy named the Telephone Head.
I've only heard of Ballbusters and the 976 Girls.
Okay. And I think Ballbusters might have come out before you guys, right?
Yes. Yes, they did. They actually played that for us in the studio for us to get an idea
mm-hmm.
of what they were going for because we really didn't know. So when they introduced themselves to me when I went in for the voiceover, they said, hey, this is kind of what we're about, and they played the Ballbuster CD for me, and I was, of course, hysterical. And then so then I got the idea of what's going on, and then they said, you know, would you like to do this? And I said, of course, I would love to be a part of this.
Were the Ballbusters as scripted as your calls, do you know?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure these guys worked, they were very professional. And the producers and stuff. So I'm pretty sure it was. But you know, we improvised a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least I improvised a lot. That's why they took me on. And I'm pretty sure the guys must have improvised because they were a hit, and they did sell well, and they have a lot of fans. And they were very organized. They weren't as scripted as I guess I'm making it appear. they did have a basic goal where they were going to with the conversation. They did have the only reason why some of it was scripted on our half of the deal was because you get stuck sometimes and you get a little nervous on the phone or don't know what to say back. So it's kind of like a phone sales script where they give you different ways that you can come back, you know, to respond.
And none of the actual ideas for the calls were yours? You just kind of did the ad-libbing on what they told you to do?
Yes. I think I came up, I'm pretty sure I came up with one skit. Not the lines, but the idea for one of the skits.
Okay.
But it didn't happen with all of them. Mostly, I would say 90% of it was all Dillegas Records.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Call Girls? Like your stuff being released under another name?
No.
I don't think I've seen this myself. It's hard to remember, but on some website I saw that somebody saw your material released under the name The Call Girls, and it was a label called Laugh-A-Lot Records.
Not at all.
Yeah, this was back in the 90s, so I don't know if maybe some little label just got away with doing that. And
or maybe when Dillegas went down, they just resurfaced as, you know, that.
Yeah, or sold their material to some other record company. So are you a fan of prank calls yourself?
I certainly am. I haven't listened to them lately because I am a mom now and I try and keep the house virgin-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
I guess back then it was just Jerky Boys. That's pretty much all that was out.
That was huge. Yeah, the Jerky Boys were huge and they were very respected and very popular.
Mm-hmm. None of you were ever previously phone sex operators?
Not at all, no.
Or I guess you don't know the other girls, but
I don't know the other girls, but I didn't hear of that, and I'm pretty sure I would have heard that they did that before. I don't think so. I really think that they picked out four cute girls. I have to say that the three girls are pretty cute, really really sweet, really funny, very outgoing, very down to earth, and I believe that none of us were previously 976 girls.
Okay. I don't know if you want to say this or not, but would you mind telling me how much you got paid for doing the 976 girls?
From what I remember, I think it was between $5,000 and $6,000.
Wow, that's not bad.
It could have been a little lower, but I see that number seems to stick out in my head.
But no residuals.
No residuals. We had an agreement that we would get residuals if a certain amount of copies were sold.
Mm-hmm.
That amount was not sold.
I see.
So I think, I'm not sure the number, it could be 100,000 copies sold, and after that we would get residuals. I know that, I remember hearing that and waiting. I was waiting to see how many were sold, and I was hanging on the edge of my seat for about a year, and then they went out of business.
Do you remember how many were sold?
No. If I got in contact with Anthony, who was one of the producers, and I think the president of Dillegas Records at the time, he would know this. So that's another reason why I would love to contact him so I can find out all this stuff as well.
Yeah.
I want to, because now, later on in my life, now that I'm older and I look back on what all these great things that I've done in my past, and being a 976 girl was definitely one of them, I'm definitely interested in the details that I really didn't pay attention to back then because it was all about fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the cash was great, but I did not do it for the cash. I did it for the fun. And of course, making money didn't hurt, but it wasn't about the money at all. It was about the fun. And I was a crazy, fun actress, bartender, gallivanting around South Beach and having a blast in my early 20s.
Speech therapy, Bethel Copeland here.
Hi, my name is Jenny, and I'd like to get some speech therapy. I'd like to broaden my horizontals.
You mean broaden your horizons, Jenny?
Yes, I'd like to get better dictation.
Better what?
Dictation.
You mean you want to get better... diction is the word you're thinking of?
Yeah, whatever.
Yes, well, would you like to make an appointment over the telephone now?
Yes, I would. Can we do this now?
You want to do it now?
Yes.
Well, Jenny, unfortunately, our shortest course is 3 months.
Well, see, I'd like to do it over the phone because my job is working on the phone, so I don't like to go into an office because I speak to people over the phone, not in person.
I see. Are you in sales?
No, I'm a 976 girl.
A 976 girl? What actually does that entail?
How big is your penis? What are you wearing?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to turn you on.
I don't...
See, this is my job. This is how I work on the phone. I'm a 976 girl. I turn men on over the phone.
I see. You're one of these girls that talk sex over the telephone. I understand.
See, my boss says I'm not very good at speaking on the phone, and if I don't learn how to speak, he's going to fire me, and I can't lose my job.
I see. Well, why don't you enroll in a course?
Well, I'd like to work over the phone.
I see. Well, I'm not certain that's going to be possible. What else do you do?
I'm rubbing my pussy right now.
No,
I'm getting wet.
I don't think I'm the right person for you to talk to right
now. Well, I think you are. You sound very good, and you speak very eloquently.
Eloquently?
Yes.
Well, as I say, if you want to enroll, but I don't think there's much point in pursuing this conversation over the telephone. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. I think one of the skits I played a redhead. And, I describe myself as a redhead. And, I got the guy all hot and bothered, and he was so excited, and I started talking. I told him he had a free, I don't remember the amount of minutes, maybe a free 5 or 10 minutes of phone sex.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he was all excited about it, and I started getting groovy and in the groove, the sex groove. And
yeah, and then you said you were going to smash his face in with a brick.
Right. And then there's another one that I was going to take off my wooden leg and beat him with my wooden leg.
Yeah, I remember that.
And half the guys, I have to say, I give credit to the men out there because they just ran with it and they laughed or they paused and they didn't know what to think. And then, I would go on. I think I remember asking, should I go on? And one of them said, sure. Even after I started going a little crazy on them with the violence, and they ran with it, and it was a lot of fun, and the guys had a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I love the guys that signed those releases.
Did you talk to any of those guys afterwards?
Not after we hung up, we had to call the same number back, or after we were hung up on, we had to call the same number back and tell them what we were doing.
Yeah,
and
I hope you gave them time to finish first.
Yeah, buddy. Honey, we didn't even let them finish. They were scared of us by the end of the phone calls.
Yeah.
It went from up to down, I'm sure, or just plain old confused. But it was so funny. And anyway, we called them back, and we had to tell them what we did and that it was a prank, a phone prank. And they were laughing about it when we were done explaining what we were doing. And they were more than happy to have us fax them a release for them to sign and fax back to us.
Mm-hmm.
So most of that it was all done by fax machine with the signing of the releases.
Yeah, back when faxes were a big thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember calling them back, and then some of them did have a conversation with me afterwards, and they were just laughing. They just said, that was great. That was great what you did. That you really got me, or you had me going there for a while. And they were hysterical. And they had a great sense of humor. Everybody was very copacetic.
Yeah. So you didn't talk to any of the people that didn't give their release? You know, the people that were really pissed off that you fooled them?
Well, we called them back. And then when they were upset, they hung up on us. Or they just said no. And no, we ended up never having a conversation, though. I think maybe one of them, if I remember correctly, cursed us out or cursed me out.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fine. I didn't mind that a bit. No problem with that.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of deserve the cursing out there, I guess.
Yeah, of course. And I understand that. I mean, I wasn't. I felt a little badly sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
When it was once in a while we'd call a guy that was just plain old innocent, and or very conservative. So I understand. But we definitely apologized. And then some of them that cursed us out, we just cursed them out right back.
Yeah.
So we had fun with that too, but we just didn't record it. We couldn't put that out. We couldn't release that because they didn't sign a release.
What kind of environment were the calls done in? Like, were you in an office or in a...
It was a small studio. I think it was on the second floor of a building on Washington Avenue in South Beach.
Okay. You told me earlier you have a 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Okay. So when your 9-year-old girl turns, 13, 14, do you think you'll let her listen to your old calls?
Absolutely not.
Not
until she's married.
All right.
I will never tell her anything about it until she is married and she's de-virginized.
Yeah, just because of the nature of the calls, because it's phone sex?
Oh, yes,
Or just prank calls in general?
Oh, Craig calls, I guarantee you one thing, I will teach her to make them.
Okay.
But nothing to do with sex.
Yeah.
I've been making prank calls since I was 10 years old, and I still do it. I still do it with my girlfriends.
Really?
Yes, and I used to send pizzas to people's houses, which is really mean, and I feel really badly now. I didn't realize what I did when I was a teenager.
Oh, I've been there too.
And I feel really badly about the pizza place in my old neighborhood on Roosevelt Island in Manhattan, because I called them up and sent 20 pizzas to a friend of mine once. I sent Chinese food, 20 pizzas, Greek restaurant, and the sushi place all on the same night.
Did you time it so they all came there at the same time?
Yes, I did. One after the next. I certainly did. And yep. We were very calculating about it, and we had a lot of fun doing it. And because we lived in Manhattan, we could see the hall, like the next building, we could see the actual hallway windows. And we would watch from my apartment living room window,
mm-hmm.
and we would watch all the delivery people go and go. My friend Judy, who is coming down to Florida next Saturday, did them with me.
Yeah.
And she is a blast. She's crazy just like me back then. And we're still friends for 30 years. And she and I were the pranksters. We were completely out of control. We would call people up all the time and prank call them. So when this opportunity came to me, I went with it.
You couldn't believe your luck, I bet.
But we never made sexual prank calls.
Mm-hmm.
When we were younger, we didn't think like that when we were younger.
Yeah.
We were late bloomers to begin with, but we definitely played jokes for years and years, and we still do it to this day. We do three-way calling and we crank call our friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a lot of fun. We still do that. My daughter won't know now, but I'm sure when she turns 13, I'm definitely going to teach her the ropes.
That's great.
Thank you for being interested. Thank you for enjoying my CD.
Thank you for coming on the show and doing this interview.
Oh, anytime.
Before you go, would it be too much to ask if I could have 10 minutes of free phone sex?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Oh, definitely. I would love to give you phone sex. Anytime, baby.
Okay. Well, let's end the interview and then we'll get on to that, you know, after I turn off the recording.
Oh, but you need your MasterCard.
Okay, I'll have my MasterCard. I'm getting it out right now. Erica is hoping to get in touch with anyone else who's involved with the 976 Girls, such as any of the other three girls or the people that used to run Dillagaff Records. If you know how to contact these people, or if you are these people, send me an email at radio@phonelosers.org or leave a comment on phonelosers.org. That's going to do it for this episode of PLA Radio. If you want to hear more calls by the 976 Girls, take a look at phonelosers.org/976girls. Don't forget to call the PLA Radio voicemail at 505-796-4020 and call the PLA voice bridge each evening for live prank calls at 218-339-8070.
Fuck! What the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! What the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! What the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! What the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
It's fucking distracting.
Professionally. Fucking ass.
But the phone doesn't work.